Mr. Clarkson, reel 20.
But there was nowhere to send them. And then when we'd get back to Bermuda, this was a routine then, you'd see all this lot would go up to the hospital, probably at Bermuda hadn't had any patients and all the ships were away. And then we'd go in there and away would go these 20 to the hospital. They'd be away about 6 weeks and then they'd come back, all big, strong, he men, all bronze, had been having a good time up there. And off we'd go again. But there were one or two cases. I can remember one in particular, a diver he was, and he was a real slut, a married man too with a couple of kids. And he was virile and he was going to have a good time wherever we went, and he did. He always had something wrong. And I remember the surgeon commander said to him one day, well, I'll just forget his name, he said, now you're cured once more, he said. You had syphilis, you've had gonorrhea. Let me see, he said, is there anything else you haven't? You haven't had a baby yet, have you? No, he said, I suppose you would go ashore tonight. This was in St. Vincent. He said, and you'll get something. And he did. And he was useless. Apart from that, he deserted while we were in Alaska. Got a job with a diving firm. And then he came back eventually with another dose. And he got slung out when we came.
He did.
That was another thing. We came home to England and there were five. All seamen they were. And young fellows. And the day we arrived in Portsmouth, the skipper had them lined up and they took their collars off. They took their cap ribbons off and they told him to get out of it. They were escorted to the gate and out.
Why was this? Because they had...
Because of their behaviour while we were away.
Gosh.
And not so... There were a couple of VD cases, mm-hmm. but the others were just blokes who broke their leave. Yeah. Didn't come off to time or anything like that. They wouldn't put up with them. Yeah. They just wouldn't. They had to behave themselves. As our captain said, we are ambassadors. And we've got to set a good example wherever we go.
Can I just ask, come back to that in a minute. When in the case of venereal disease, did the ship's sick bay would be where the men were sent? Was there anything else that was done? You would get cases where men might not have to go to the sick bay, did you? Or did everyone automatically...
They wouldn't have him in the sick bay.
No.
No. Anybody was, say, that had a bad dose, they used to have to take their hammocks, if there were bed cases, which they were very often, and you can imagine what it was like in the tropics too, down to the bathroom flat, that's where the bath wash places were, and they used to sling their hammocks up down there. They were more or less isolated. They weren't allowed to sleep in the mess, and they wouldn't have them in the sick bay. The sick bay was only for pure illnesses.
Pure illnesses. And did they get special cutlery, special facilities like crockery kept aside for them and things? Were they outfitted like that as well?
In the sick bay there was a room, I suppose, where they had these irrigation things. They used to go in there for their treatment.
Oh, I see.
But they really weren't wanted there, and yeah. They were more or less...
But the actual, how did the others treat them? How did the other men on board regard them?
Was it... Well, there was so much of it that they didn't really... They felt sorry for them sometimes. I can remember on one occasion, they were all messed. They all, I suppose, there would be 15 to 20 then. And they were messed forward of the mess deck, between the mess deck and our workshop, if you can understand. And you couldn't get any further than our workshop, we were right in the bows. And we did, a couple of us, we felt so sorry for them at Christmas. All they were more or less on a diet up there. And of course, they couldn't move around, they couldn't do anything. And we did save up a couple of tots and give to them on Christmas Day just to cheer them up a bit. Because they, some of them, I know one fella that he was a great pal of my brother's, used to go to school. Nice fellow he was, but I suppose he was unlucky there. But the thing about it was the treatment they must have had up at the hospital when they got there. And they used to come back as brand new men, they did.
Yes. You said earlier that just over coffee or after coffee, how impressive were the fact that the married men, on the whole, resisted the
temptations.
They did. Would you say that was generally true, in fact?
I would say yes, definitely. Now, I suppose you could say about 20%. No. Let me see. I'd say on the Dauntless, out of about, must have been about 50 POs and chiefs there. And I think you could count them all on one hand that ever strayed from the narrow path.
Yeah, that's interesting.
They were, as I say, I always admired the married men. One of them in particular, he was my double. And poor George Mitchell, we'd gone ashore in Trinidad. That was a real bad place. That was all these places, and I was single. I didn't worry. I was, and he was married. And I remember when we slept ashore in Trinidad, he used to sleep. I'd be in a bed in a room, and he'd sleep on the doorstep to stop any women from getting anywhere near. And he was another of them that kept clear of anything like that. They really had respect for their wives and families. And I think the most sorrowful sight that I've ever seen is when the ship is going away. The last time I went away was on the Dauntless. Gone away for 2.5 years there. And you know what it's like in the Navy. The wives and kids come down. They're allowed to say goodbye to their fathers before they go. And on this particular occasion, I remember my first wife, we weren't married then, she came down to see me up. And this same fella, this Mitchell, he was there with his wife and kids. It was the first time I met him, as a matter of fact. And all of a sudden, the time's up, everybody aboard. And you can't wave as you go along. You're all filling, standing to attention. And the ship left, cast off the wires, and as they cast off the last one, it swung round like a banjo wire and swept right along the line of women and kids, knocked nearly all of them over, and we naturally thought some of them will have broken legs there, but the ship didn't stop, there was no information. We went astern and then turned around, went ahead and off we went. Now, that was a fortnight before we got to Bermuda, and then we had to wait to get a mail before anybody knew what had happened. There were one or two injuries there, but for the married men, that must have been a heartbreaking affair. And you can imagine what it's like. You don't know each other, not the majority of you. You're all strangers, brand new commission. And you're going away, and that first day, oh, it's awful. Nobody speaks. They're all full of thoughts of what they've left behind and wondering if they'll ever get back again. And then as the evening draws on, so they're sitting down in the mess all looking glum. They're gradually beginning to talk to each other. And as I say, they've got to settle down to that. They've got to know, they realise that they're going to be away for 2.5 years. And it's quite a strain, really.
Is there any time when you have got over it, is there any sort of point where you leave off the feeling of disappointment and depression, and you become, I mean, what's the process that takes place in the mess as men begin to come out of the shells?
You gradually begin to, you pick up somebody, a mate, uh-huh. you see, and you gradually, perhaps two or three of you, you might, like, one place I was at in the Iron Duke, there was four of us played solo whist for 3 years, we did, uh-huh. and it's all that sort of thing. Everybody had their, somebody is, he's got a banjo or something and he practices on that, another buddy, he's got collect stamps, and they gradually settled down to it. And then, of course, the last few months when you're coming home, now that is when everybody's getting excited and they're all happy. But and of course, it's work, work, work. That's the only thing. I mean, you think this. I often talk to these people and say, you're all right, you've got a pension. I say, yes, you're all right. You went home and slept in a comfortable bed all the time I was away. But when you come to realise it, you're on the job. You're sleeping on it for those 2.5 years.
Would you say the Navy actually took advantage of that? I mean, in a sense, and would you say there was much what I would call mick work? You know, idle hands make mischief.
Oh, yes, they make, the Navy makes sure of that. All the exercises and evolutions, that is part of the program. That's to keep you from slacking, to keep you from having idle time to worry. If you take all the time you're not on work, actual work, the routine work, so they're thinking up evolutions. That's usually one day a week nearly taken up for that.
Yes. Can I just come back to that in a minute and ask you about this friendship? Do men make friends in ships? I mean, are they permanent friendships or are they border trade?
Now,
what's the nature of friendship?
That's a funny thing. You get so friendly and the friendship is so strong that when you leave a ship, you think that you're never going to give them up. But you do after a while. That friendship, it sort of thins out as you get back to civilization and your own home. And after all the ideas you've always had, to sworn to see each other every so often and all that, you don't. You just forget about it.
Why do you think that happens? It's quite common.
It's because you're living a non-natural life. It's just the same as the social affairs in the Navy. In Malta, places like that. Now then, out there, this is another thing, the sport dancing and that sort of thing. Now, once a week on the Iron Duke, the band used to play for dancing. You don't treat each other as pansies or anything like that. You've no female partners, but you have normally a male partner. And my partner, he used to be a dog-featured gunner's mate. He was older than me, nice fellow there. And this, we used to dance on the upper deck to the band. And then when my Molly said, hey, what am I going to show? He said, we're finding somewhere we can dance properly. And so we did. We went up to the dancers. Used to be run by a parson's wife at the YWCA. Now, we went up there, and this parson's wife eventually said, do you want a partner? What sort do you want, a married one or a single one? She picked us partners, quite nice girls they were. And that made us, all the time we were in Malta, then instead of having to get our entertainment in pubs, we used to go on outings with all this crowd, Saturdays. We used to go on picnics, we used to go to dances a couple of nights away, and life was nice. But where did we drift from now?
What I wanted just to...